Well, welcome, family. As we gather together on this Sunday, we are celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is the period of time that leads us, not just on the calendar, but in our hearts, to Christmas. And Advent is all about this process of preparation. So let's start that there today. In the comments section below, answer this question: what are you preparing for this Advent season? And then maybe take some time, interact with others, and just share that Christmas spirit with one another. What are you preparing for this Advent? If your household is like mine, we typically have a few rules when it comes to preparing for Christmas. The first one, and this is pretty obvious, is that no Christmas music is allowed until after Thanksgiving. I think we can all agree that Christmas music is only permissible in 2 months of the year, July and December. The second one, which is kind of similar, is that we are allowed to begin decorating for Christmas the very moment that Thanksgiving dinner is finished, but never before. And then the third, which is kind of more of an unwritten rule in my family, is that the Brown family will end up watching the movie Elf at least once each day as we prepare for Christmas. But this year, things were a little bit different. I think we all just needed a little more Christmas this year. And so the rules sort of changed. There was no waiting until after Thanksgiving dinner. In fact, the moment that Halloween was done, like November 1st, I found myself in the attic pulling out boxes and bows and ribbons and holly and trees and nutcrackers. And our downstairs began to fill up with decorations and preparation. And as that happened, I kind of noticed something returning to our atmosphere. There was this feeling of hope, that Christmas spirit rising up. Today, we're beginning a new series entitled Experiencing the World Changer. And how fitting is that, after the 2020 that we've all experienced, that we're going to talk about the one person who has changed history forever? We are living in a world that is deeply changed and that is in the process of changing us. And yet, in the midst of that change, may we also experience the world changer and the message that he has for us. See, this year we've all gone through the change. We've all experienced personal tragedy before. We've experienced parts of our country or areas on the map where devastation and destruction has happened. And in the past, because those were all so localized, we would go to people and we'd tell them about what's going on in our lives. And they may have interest and they may even try to have some deep empathy for us. But they weren't going through it themselves. Now, no matter where in the globe you go and talk about the weight and the pain of this pandemic, it's like we all understand one another in a new way. We're all experiencing a world-changing event together. How fitting then that as we prepare our hearts for Christmas, we take a look at Jesus, the true world changer. As we open up this series today, we're going to look at how Jesus isn't just changing our world or, hey, changed it some long time ago in one of those Christmas songs we sing every December. We're going to take a look at how Jesus is ready to change our hearts and restore and renew hope in this very season. And so, would you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9? If you don't have a Bible that you allow to go through you on a regular basis, I would encourage you to download the Bible app to your electronic device of choice. And why not take it just one step farther and pick up an Advent devotional reading through the Bible app? So let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 1 together. Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of former times, when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered the oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Each Sunday of Advent, as we continue towards Christmas and we continue in this season of preparation, we're going to take a look at one of those names that the prophet foretold for Jesus. We're going to take a look at Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace as a reminder that Jesus is with us in this season. And today we start with the Wonderful Counselor and our key thought: our world changes forever when hope shines through the darkness. Our world changes forever. That's a relevant message to our world right now. When hope, the thing that we all need in this season, shines through the darkness. You see, in Isaiah chapter 9, we see this theme of light and dark, of destruction versus renewal of hope that kind of runs through all the previous chapters and is brought to life in this section here. The people of this time were very familiar with gloom and darkness, with destruction and devastation. And when Isaiah wrote this prophecy, he was pointing to an event that would happen about 800 years later at the birth of the Messiah. The people of this time that he was writing to, they lived in this uniquely difficult season of history. I think we can resonate with those words in a new way. And yet, this group faced an even more devastating season than what we even know right now. You see, oppressive regimes and enemies would often come in and raid their lands, take their property, and even haul off their wives, their children, their friends, their family into slavery and servitude. There was always a looming threat of death and defeat and captivity at every turn. This people was far from safety and far from feeling at home, even in their own land. As we think about moments like this now, though, we do think about them differently. It's hard to compare pain or compare devastation. And so when we look back on history and moments like this now through the lens of what we've all gone through in 2020, we feel these moments a little differently. They're not just words on a page that don't resonate in our hearts. We can sense that feeling of devastation. For many right now, we are living this. And yet, as bad as we have it now, this group was looking for a hope in a deeper darkness than perhaps we could even still imagine in the midst of this. And yet, in the midst of that darkness, that overcoming gloom, Isaiah predicted a light. He predicted that hope would penetrate the darkness, that there was a reason to have faith and hope. He predicted that there would be healing that would come through a child born in a manger. Verse 6 says, "For unto us a child will be born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named." And that in that day, it was talking about the character, not just the name as in, you know, what someone calls you for dinner, but the very embodiment of the personality. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. As we begin our Advent journey today, we take a look at Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor. Not just a name that we put on a name tag, but as the embodiment of what He wants to do in our lives. There should have never, I should say, have been a shame in going to counselors. There shouldn't be a stigma around trying to find healing for our mental and emotional needs, but perhaps in this season more than ever, some of us have gone to counselors or professionals, have gone to those who would mentor us through a difficult season. And that's a good thing. Counselors provide a wonderful service. They often help us recontextualize the challenges that we face, to help us to see things in a new light, and literally to help light penetrate through the darkness in our minds and in our hearts. Counselors help us see through gloomy circumstances and reclaim hope that there is a brighter future ahead, that there are reasons to look ahead with hope, because hope is uniquely powerful. About 4 years ago, as I was preparing to come be the lead pastor of what is now Altitude Church, I was praying and asking God, seeking His heart for a phrase, a message, kind of like an embodiment of what He was going to do in this city and in this next season. Now, I know none of you pray this way, but let me just be transparent enough to say that while I was praying to, you know, God to receive some word from Him, I was also trying to give Him the answer I wanted. The church that I was a part of before I came to Altitude had this guiding phrase, "You are loved." And I love that phrase. It's biblical, it's personal, and not enough of us truly realize the depth of God's love, the depth of this love that overcomes our fears and our failures, all the ways we've betrayed Him. And so I prayed for this word from God, but was kind of lifting up like the suggestion to God, "Here, take this one. It's really good." And yet I kept hearing a different phrase in my spirit. This phrase, "Hope lives here." And I'd never heard that phrase before. This was years before Maria Goff wrote the book Love Lives Here. So this was kind of a unique thought. And I kept going back to God saying, like, "Wait, no, wait a second. The Bible says, you know, among these things remain faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So why wouldn't we focus on the greatest thing?" And yet, as we've started to use that phrase over the last few years, I've kind of come to realize the power of hope. You see, people know where to go to find what they define as love. That's an important distinction, what we define as love. People know where to go to find that. But especially in this season, it's been revealed in powerful ways that we don't know where to go to find hope. At least, not a hope that is true, that is unshakable, that can outlast our storms and shine through the darkness. I've said it a lot recently, but it keeps being more and more true. Jesus is the only source of lasting hope. All of the other things that we've tried to grab onto as hope have kind of crumbled like sand through our fingers in this season. Our safety and our security, our money and our possessions, our distractions and our entertainment, even our ability to lean into the presence of others in this season has been taken away from us. It hasn't proven that it can hold the weight of our hope. I kind of think of it like those commercials for paper towels. I know this is a weird thought, but stay with me. How many of those paper towel brands have you seen where they have this generic X brand paper towel, right? And they start putting it under a water faucet, and then they take like a stack of pennies and they put it on top of there. And what happens? Almost immediately, those pennies break through. And then they show the brawny, the hefty, the strong and bountiful brand of paper towels. and they put it under the water, and then instead of taking it away and putting the pennies on there, they just leave it under the water, and they put the pennies on there, and they show how that brand can hold the weight of not just the pennies, but also the continual flow of water that goes into it. That's kind of the way Jesus is our source of hope. The other things that we've tried to place our hopes and fears on, like those pennies, broke through instantly. But Jesus can not only hold our hopes and fears, he can also help us withstand those constant rivers and waters of pandemic that keep flowing through this season. Because he is the source of our hope. Isaiah predicted it thousands of years ago. And then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21, we see this. It says, his name will be the hope of all the world. His character, the embodiment of who Jesus is, will be the hope of all of us. He is the real deal, the wonderful counselor, the one that can help us stand in the midst of this darkness and reclaim our hopes and recontextualize our fears. Because our world changes forever when hope shines through the darkness. That is what we need in this season. Just like the people that Isaiah wrote to those thousands of years ago, we need to see that there is a hope that withstands beyond our current pain. We need the hope that Christmas is all about, that this Advent season is preparing us for. We need to experience the world changer that reclaims all that hell has stolen from us and reminds us that there is new joys that are on the way. Advent is the preparation of that journey. It's a reminder of that hope that's found in our wonderful counselor. In ancient Israel, the word counselor was synonymous with a wise king who gave us good guidance and helped people find their way again. As we place our faith in Jesus, he doesn't just restore vague hope that's out there and doesn't make sense in our world. He lights our path. He helps us find new steps every single day, even if it's just taking the next step or doing the next right thing, that helps us walk back towards the light, helps us walk back into a place where darkness is pushed away and pushed aside. See, Isaiah didn't hide from the nation of Israel that they would still be going through struggles. And I'm not hiding from you the fact that we're still in the midst of this pandemic. We may or may not still see even harder days ahead than what we've already faced. And yet, what Isaiah promised was a light that would go through the darkness and that devastated land would be restored. Several chapters later, in Isaiah chapter 43, we see a promise that I've kind of felt God laying on my heart. Maybe it's just for me, but I believe it might also be for you and for this church as a theme for 2021. Read with me Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. That's an amazing promise. A way through the uncharted, hazy future that we can't even see or try to grasp right now as we take life one day at a time. That's the promise of the wonderful counselor. Rivers in the desert, quenching that dry land, not just with a trickle, not with a stream, not even with a babbling brook, but a river of power, restoration, and hope. You see, we often look back from our trying times at the world before us, and we do so with like these rosy, rose-colored glasses. We forget about the pain because we've already gone through that process. We talked about this a lot during our Uncharted series, both year one and year two. So I would encourage you to binge something better by going back on our website on the messages page or on YouTube and checking out those Uncharted messages. One thing I think is we might look back on 2019 and before, and imagine in our minds that they were a perfect world, kind of like how you remember only the better parts of your childhood. And yet, as we talked about in our series, Overcoming the Storm this year, which you can also binge on our website through the messages page or on YouTube, the reality that even before this pandemic really struck, we were facing epidemic levels of depression and destruction. We were seeing, addiction rates skyrocket around us. We were seeing marital disharmony grow in troubling ways around the globe. The pandemic simply made it worse. You see, we were already in a land of darkness. It just got darker in this season. But Isaiah recognizes this. He recognizes that we live in this land of gloom and despair, and yet he points us to the hope of this wonderful counselor. And as the wonderful counselor, Jesus restores us from the effects of sin and shame. He took the weight of our treachery and all of our mistakes and faults and failures, all the ways we've turned our back on God, he took that on the cross. We call that good news. In the Advent story, you see the angel proclaim good news of great joy that will be for all people, that in the town of Bethlehem, this child is born. And yet that word good news is the word gospel. We don't often think about the gospel as good news, especially in a world where we're so conditioned to hear bad news moment after moment, day after day. And yet this is the good news, that Jesus took all of the weight of our sin and shame on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And when he did this, the Father looked down on that sin and shame, and he had to turn his back away. He turned his back on Jesus so that he would never again have to turn his back on us. You see, our world changes forever when hope shines through the darkness. And Advent is the preparation process for that. It moves us towards the light. It moves us to where we can look at God, if we dare turn our face towards him, and not see anger, not see our regrets, but see a wonderful counselor who's making a way through our confusing time, through this confusing world, and is giving us rivers of hope in the dry, arid desert. We need to hear this gospel message. In fact, as I said a couple months ago, Martin Luther actually used to say that Christians, those who follow Jesus, need to proclaim the gospel, not just to others, but to ourselves. We need to be reminded of this truth over and over again, even more so than we're reminded of all the bad news that's going on our news feeds, our social media, on the television, because that light, that hope can penetrate the darkness. Jesus promises us that he is going to do new things. Oftentimes, one of the things that a counselor will do is to give you a word or a picture or an image to kind of sink your hope in, kind of grab onto in the midst of a shaking time in your life. Over the course of this pandemic, I felt God giving me this one specific image. See, my favorite image in nature is that of the mountains. I love the majestic mountains and just standing on top of Mount Falcon and seeing the city on one side and these beautiful striations of color on the other. But the image that God keeps giving me, and maybe he means it for you too, is that of the shores of a beach. Think about it. When a wave comes in and as it starts to pull back and recede, everything that we've built on those shores gets stripped away. All of our sandcastles disappear. And as that water pulls back, you start to see more and more cracks in the ground. As moisture is pulled away, the ground gets hard and it starts to hurt when you step on it. But somewhere behind the scenes, somewhere that we often don't even think to look at or to think about, the waters are churning and building power. And at some point, after they've had some time to build back up, they crash back onto that shore. And all of those cracks and all of those dry places are filled in. They're ready again. You can walk on them. And as you place your foot in the sand, it feels heavenly, doesn't it? That's the image that I get in this season. In the distance, somewhere where we can't see it, in the midst of these storms and in this pandemic, in the depth of this darkness, Isaiah promises that God is doing something new. He promises that he's giving clarity in the midst of the wilderness and rivers, not just trickles or streams, but rivers in the dry and deserted places in our lives. Jesus promises that our world changes forever when hope shines through the darkness. And he is that hope. And so as we enter into Advent, as we prepare for Christmas and the coming of the Christ child, I would encourage you, whether you've been walking with Jesus for years or whether you've only ever heard his name used as a cuss word, to pray this prayer together. Jesus, I need you. In this darkness and the gloom that surrounds me, I need you. You promise that light will break through the darkness. Would you help me to recognize even the pinholes of light that are breaking through? You promise that the dry land that is cracking under our feet will be washed away as your waves break back onto the shores. Jesus, I know that I cannot find hope in anywhere but you, and I ask that you would help me see you this Christmas in new ways. Do new things in my life. Show me that I can hope again. It's in your name that I pray, Jesus. Amen. I started this message by asking you a question. What are you preparing for this Advent season? Are you preparing for things to get worse? Or are you preparing to encounter Jesus like never before? He's doing something new. And if you prayed that prayer, whether you've been following Jesus for years or whether you've just started right now, I would encourage you to message the word Jesus to the number that's on your screen. And someone from our team, one of our leaders, will reach back out to you and talk to you about what it means to have new hope in Jesus in this season. Because remember, you are loved. You are not alone. But right now in this season, maybe what you need to hear more than anything is that hope really and truly does live here. And as we prepare for Advent, we prepare to reclaim that hope.